Welcome to the Northern Business Podcast, a regular discussion with people in the north of England who lead businesses, employ people, and have new ideas to help our economy grow. We're produced by Recognition PR, which serves scores of different sectors all across the country, and some occasionally contribute to this podcast. We're also sponsored by Virtue Motors, one of the top automotive retailers in the UK, with a network of dealerships representing some of the world's most popular brands. I'm Graham Robb in the studio today with Catherine Gardner from Constructing Excellence Northeast. We're going to find out about how the construction sector is doing, and particularly in light of today's some people call it an emergency budget, some have called it an economic statement from the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves. Down the line, we've Richard Tang. He is a founder of Zen Internet. It's got some wonderful things that we can talk about with Zen Internet. It's a very established internet service provider. And I was looking at it on the internet, and Which magazine says that it's first out of 12 when it comes to internet service provider rankings. Very interesting reviews. And then also we've got Dominic Beresford-Webb from Total Telecom. And Dominic is supporting an event called Connected North 2025, which this podcast will be broadcasting from in a few weeks' time. We'll hear all about that in a moment. First of all, can I just start with you, Catherine? I don't know if you caught Rachel Reeves' financial statement, but one of the things that she did say was there's £2 billion going into housing. How do you feel the current economy is for the constructing sector, the construction sector?
Any investment in construction is always welcome. I don't think much of this was very, very new stuff. A little bit of it is too late. We've had an awful period of uncertainty with the change of government and construction. You know, 90% of construction industries are SME. So any volatility, any market, global, local market changes really impacts us. So any investment's really, really welcome. The important bit with this is yesterday's announcement about the £600 million for additional training for the construction sector, because that's the real challenge in delivering anything. I think we all recognise that every industry has its skills challenges, but construction's got a real burning platform about getting the right people in to construct anything these days.
But tell us a little bit about Constructing Excellence and the organisations you work with.
So I sit on the board for Constructing Excellence in the Northeast, and we are a partner membership organisation, and we connect clients and supply chain and anybody involved in the construction sector with support with their business in connecting people. We have our own jobs board so people can then look or support jobs, but we do an awful lot of events around the Northeast as well. I sit on there because I've got 30 plus years working in construction myself. I'm project director for KT Construction Management, and we're delivering one of the largest projects in the Northeast at the moment, which is really exciting times.
Great. Okay, well, let's talk to all of the guests and introduce them as well. Richard Tang, Zen Internet. I tell you, I printed up Which report, and it is a pretty good review of Zen Internet. It would make you blush. It talks about how you don't always have promotional deals, but you keep the deals you have stable. This is what Which says about you. And it says that you offer 18-month broadband packages with speeds right up to 900 megabytes. And you also use two systems, Openreach and CityFibre. This is what it says on your blurb on Which. How is business and how does it feel all these years on since you've founded Zen Internet?
Yeah, thank you, and great to be on the show. Zen is actually the oldest internet service provider in the UK that still exists in its original form. It started in 1995 after I was sitting in a pub with my brother Dan, and I asked him if he thought the internet would take off, and he said yes. So 30 years on, it's really good. Business is really good. We're growing, and we're profitable, we're debt-free, and because we're, you know, I own the company, I'm able to make decisions for the long term, and also a real passion of mine is to focus on doing the right thing for people and the environment. So the purpose of Zen is do right for people and planet. That's our purpose statement.
You're a B Corp, of course, is that's what they call it now, B Corp.
A B Corp. We are a B Corp, and B Corp is a global movement of companies that are trying to reinvent the economic and capitalist system to focus more on the well-being of people and the sustainability and the environment, and less on maximizing financial return to a select few shareholders at the expense of the majority and at the expense of the environment. So, the B Corp movement came out of the US. There are about, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 B Corps in the UK, of which Zen is one of the bigger ones, but a fantastic movement and a fantastic purpose that aligns very well with ours. But yeah, business is good. We're growing. I mean, we're in a great industry. It's a fantastic time in the UK for broadband. There's a big transition this decade over to full fibre broadband. And so, yeah, lots of opportunity for us. So, yeah, making the most of it.
You said loads of things that I want to drill down into, which just pause there. Let's introduce our other guest. And we've got Dominic Beresford-Webb on from Total Telecom. Hello, Dominic. Welcome to the podcast. Now, Dominic, tell us about your business, firstly, and also then tell us about Connected North and what that is.
Sure, absolutely. Yes, I'm Dominic. I'm head of content for Total Telecom. We are a publishing and global events company that focus chiefly on telecoms, but also the wider digital economy. When it comes to Connected North, which is an event happening April 23rd and 24th, we're essentially looking at how connectivity is underpinning the digital economy. And it's all about utilizing that connectivity to drive social and economic growth across the north of the UK. So that includes parts of the Midlands, North England, of course, and Scotland. It's the chief areas that we look at. And we cover a wide variety of topics around developing the latest in gigabit connectivity, be that via fiber or 5G and other wireless kind of methods, looking at digital skills, digital inclusion, and also some of the exciting stuff that's going on around connectivity in industries as well.
All right. Well, that's great. We'll plug the event in a minute because I'm going to take this podcast to that event so we can learn more. But let's just try and stitch these things together. Construction, technology, you'd think they wouldn't stitch together, but they do increasingly, don't they?
Yeah, we've seen some real advances in construction. We're still behind the curve. We still use concrete the same way the Romans do. And we've not quite worked out a way of laying bricks from home. But really, in the way that buildings are designed and modelled, we've been using 3D technology, 5D technology now for a number of years. And we're even seeing buildings start to be 3D printed on site. Yeah. So, yeah, we're catching on.
And some of the regulations that are coming into building, for instance, the Building Safety Act, the technology needed to deliver the material history.
Yeah, the golden thread.
The golden thread, that's the words I was grasping for. Rather like the Food Safety Act, where you've got to trace an item of food from the farm to the supermarket shelf. Yeah. It's almost like that, isn't it?
It is. And rightly so, because what we're seeing now is not only do we need that provenance of everything's been designed correctly, manufactured correctly, particularly with more increasingly global products, to then know that they're going to be safe for the period of time. And when they get, we're seeing now what we're calling urban mining, where a building that's past its life, if we've still got the provenance of the steel, for instance, that's in that, that can be reused in a future building. So it's really, really interesting and really exciting having this golden thread right through a material level.
Now, that's fascinating. That's interesting. Urban mining has introduced this podcast to a new phrase, which I'm going to bank and take away and use. But it does make sense, doesn't it? If you're demolishing a building that's got a steel frame, we're not actually making virgin steel anymore. Soon the blast furnaces that make it will have gone.
Yeah, they will. They will. And it's the steel is, you know, if you can use it still as its kit of parts, you don't even have to re-smelt it. Mm. If we can, you know, we still know what the integrity of those individual members are. But we've seen on, I've been involved with some of the works at Teesworks and the recycling of the aggregates and the old slag and stuff like that. It's more important that we're a very polluting industry in construction, that the more we can reduce our carbon footprint and, you know, get some economic benefit from reusing those things, the better.
That's great. Now, let's bring in Richard. So this is B Corp principles we're hearing from Catherine. But I want to ask you about your story, Richard. You founded this business 30 years ago. And I looked at your accounts today on Companies House, and I was genuinely impressed because you've kept a lot of money in your reserves, which really gives you a bit of strength, doesn't it? You haven't just taken it away and lived a golden lifestyle, or maybe you do live a nice lifestyle. But you have kept back in the bank more money than many other businesses in IT do.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess it's, again, making decisions for the long term. I mean, me personally, I have a fantastic life, but quite a modest life. And because of my passion for doing the right thing for people, for the environment, that's what the purpose of Zen is. The purpose of Zen is to reinvest. So not to take money out of the company, but to continually reinvest, fuel the growth, do the right thing. So we're in an industry that at the moment is, because of all the build of full fiber, there's a lot of debt in the industry. So we're so fortunate now to be a debt-free business and able to invest for the long-term future. And again, it's an industry that's growing. So we grew by about 10% last year, which is fantastic, double-digit growth.
Well, I just for the listeners and viewers, I'd looked at, you were turning over, if I got this right, about £120 million a year, which was a very significant business. It's not like a super multinational business, but as an SME, that's more the large side of things, right? And you've got all the relevant objectives in your annual accounts, and you over the years you've grown tens of millions in the bank. Your profit is modest but sustainable, and surely that's the right approach: modest but sustainable profits.
Well, absolutely, and with any business, it is this balance of to what extent do you invest for the longer term future and deliberately depress profits. But of course, you can't do too much investment because you don't want to end up in a loss-making situation where you're then struggling to pay the shorter-term liabilities. So it is always this balance between long and short-term. But we do have this big advantage that as sole shareholder, we're not beholden to private equity or to the city or to hitting the next quarterly target or the next annual target. We can take a view that we're going to make this investment in this decade, which is the transition to full fibre, and that's going to be a 5+ year investment, which will depress profits but fuel growth in the long term. And that's what we've been doing for 30 years. And one of the things that I guess is a bit counterintuitive is some people say, well, hey, you know, how do you balance that desire on the one hand to do right for people and planet, but on the other hand, you're a business, you need to grow, you need to make money, you need to make hard-nosed decisions. And I always say, look, these things are not one or the other. If you do the right things for your employees, you get loyal employees, and over a quarter of people at Zen, we employ over 600 people here in Rochdale, over a quarter have been here for over 10 years, and those loyal employees provide a great service. So the customers are loyal, they stay with us, they recommend their friends, they recommend the businesses they work for. So you end up with actually a very commercially successful business by not focusing on the money, which is counterintuitive, but we've proven over the long term that it works really well.
I think I can say my own business, I've been in business now 38 years, and just last year when I was in my 60s, I had someone knock on the door and asked if it could be bought. And I've decided not, because I'm enjoying it for a start, and let key staff gradually buy in over the next 10 years. And that would be how I'd like my own business to be. What about your business? It's significantly larger than mine. Mine's only, 2% of yours. But how will you exit the business? Not that you're going anywhere now, but will the staff be able to actually have a taste?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because, you know, I'm just one person. I'm not going to be around forever. One thing, again, that does set Zen apart, and the reason that we are the oldest ISP in the UK, is because all of our peers back in 1995 have either disappeared or been bought up by other companies. So the natural thing to do for, I guess, an entrepreneur like me is you find a business, you grow it, and then there's a point where actually you can sell the business for a good sum of money, and you exit and you go sit on a beach for a while and you get bored and all that sort of stuff. And for me, that's of no interest to me whatsoever. So my plan is never to exit Zen until the day I die. And so then the question is, well, how can I best retain the values within the company after I'm gone? And I've given quite a lot of thought to this, because the economic system that we operate in isn't set up for people who want to do that. What my solution that I've got so far is that in my will, I've written a wish that my shareholding in Zen goes into a trust, and my letter of wishes to the trustees says, stick to the values, don't sell out. So that is my solution, and you know, hopefully that won't happen for a very long time, but that is my long-term goal, is that Zen just continues beyond me doing what it's doing.
It is refreshing, and I've got to say, I haven't, and I've interviewed lots of entrepreneurs in my life, but I've not often come across this. There are some exceptions, but I haven't often come across it. Can I ask you about, I hope you don't mind me asking, these are quite questions because it's a private business, these are private matters. Do you think, you said you own the business, do you think that the way the government is going about taxation of business, that sometimes the government think they own the business? They're telling us how much to pay, they're telling us how much to hand over, they're regulating in many ways, but you own the business, I own my business. Whose business is it?
Well, it's definitely my business, it's definitely our business in terms of the way we operate it. I mean, the governments are in this, I guess, difficult situation where every 4 years, you know, the parties want to win the election, so they make a load of promises that they can't necessarily keep, that are not necessarily that well thought out. So this whole thing about, you know, we're going to make everything brilliant, we'll invest in the NHS, we'll invest in that and that, we'll give a real boost to businesses, and we're not going to raise taxes. And so, of course, they make this promise, and it's like, okay, we're going to spend all this money on making the UK better. And are we, you know, where are we going to get the money from? Well, we're not going to raise taxes. Is the tooth fairy going to just rock up with this big chunk of money? And then, of course, they get elected, and then they think, well, okay, how are we going to deliver this in practice? And they're scratching their heads, and something's got to give one way or the other. So
words in your mouth. I hear everything. You're giving a very candid meeting, because you're an owner of business. I'm an owner of business. I don't worry to my other guests. I'm not going to ask you the same questions because you don't own your businesses. It's up to Richard if he wants to say what he wants to say. But I just feel a little bit pissed off, actually, that the businesses of this country are having to balance the books because we didn't expect it. It's a bit of a shock to the system. The next month is going to be very expensive. You've got 700 staff. Was it 700, you said? Certainly hundreds.
Yeah, so 600.
It's going to cost you a lot of money, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the national insurance changes for sure are going to cost a lot of money, and that is going to be more money paid out for us. It's certainly a challenge in our enterprise business. So our enterprise customers are more reluctant now to spend money on upgrading their infrastructure, their networks, because they're aware that there's this big financial hit coming. So look, that is depressing business generally in the UK. And I think, having said that, as a business owner, I'm not in the camp where I'm going to blame the government. It's almost like the system is the system for everybody. We're in a free market economy. We've got the opportunity to compete and make a good business. We can still grow a business despite the increases in the national insurance and, you know, the other economic challenges that we face. And we just got to make the best of it. You know, there's no point moaning about it.
I do agree with you. And I was talking to a very successful entrepreneur who runs a company just about the same size as yours before I came on the podcast today. And he was similarly pissed off with it that I am. But then he said, and he's quite right, if you whinge about these things, it's like a sailor complaining about the weather.
Exactly.
Businesses have to have taxation. They have to have interest rates go up and down. And you just got to get on with it. So a positive. Well, I'm going to bring Dominic in now, because he's doing something positive about it. And please join this bit, Richard, because it applies to your sector. So, Dominic, what is it positive you're doing in terms of this Connected 25 conference or event, rather?
Sure. So, I mean, really, it's all started out with telecoms as a base here at Total Telecom and our Connected events. But more and more, it's kind of moving towards everything that connectivity touches and how it underpins a digital economy and how it benefits, you know, people, the consumers, you know, on a kind of social level in terms of their digital access. Allowing them to access, let's say, critical services online, but as well as now working from home, super important. But it goes beyond that to creating, hopefully, an environment across the north of the UK that's appealing for investment. It's about developing the economy and attracting inward investment and making sure that the infrastructure in place is future-proofed, for one way of putting it. So that includes things like fiber in the ground. It also includes things like 5G and data centers as well. And all the things that feeds into, be it smart cities and IoT, smart industries, you know, things around like 5G manufacturing and all that kind of thing. So it's really about social economic growth.
So tell us about what the event is. How can people can come along to take part in it? Where is it? How do they get there? How do they ticket?
Yeah. Of course, yeah, no. So it's 23rd, 24th of April at Manchester Central. We do have a free ticket program, and there are tickets that can be purchased as well. I would invite people to Google Connected North. You'll find it, and you can visit the website and take a look. And yeah, I'd highly recommend coming along. Richard Tang will be doing a keynote address on the day two, April 24th. We also have great speakers from across public and private sector. So that includes leaders from Openreach, CityFibre, Fibris, Virgin Media O2, but as well as CEOs from Liverpool City Region's Combined Authority, Sheffield City Council as well, as well as Manchester's, you know, the Greater Manchester Combined Authority. So there's lots and lots of different people to talk to and mix with, be that public or private sector. And it's all about the digital economy, digital infrastructure, and making things better for the region in general.
Thanks, Dominic. Richard, one last word from you before I go to Catherine. You're going to be giving a keynote. Are you going to give us a little bit of a taster of what you want to talk about?
I will indeed. And first of all, I'd just like to say I've been to Connected North for a number of years. It's on annually. It's an absolutely brilliant event. There's loads of people there. It's absolutely fantastic for networking. If you've got any interest at all in the digital economy, connectivity, telecoms, that is the place to be. So get yourself along. I'm going to be talking about the full fibre wacky races, as I call them. So the opportunity in this decade to build full fibre has been adopted by about 100 full fibre builders across the UK, big and small. And it feels like the wacky race is, let's build this fibre network as fast as we can and make a profitable business. And so the purpose of my talk is to give an update, my own personal view, plus the views of some of the main industry CEOs on where we are, who's winning, who's losing, what is going to happen over the next few years, what are the big opportunities for businesses and in our sector. Yeah, it's had good engagement in the past. So looking forward to doing that speaking slot on the beginning of the second day.
Well, Richard, I hope I get the chance to meet you, because we're going to put a little coffee table and get our podcast live from there and record some bits and pieces. And it'd be great. And to be talking to the pioneer ISP in this country, the first and the longest lasting, it was a great privilege to hear your story and those wonderful attitudes you've got. So thank you both for joining us. I'm just going to give the last word to Catherine, listening to them talking about the infrastructure of fibre and also 5G. Nowadays, when you're building your buildings for your clients, I suppose it is fundamental. Literally, you can change the value of a piece of land as whether it's connected, can't you?
Yeah, it is. It's the fibre, telecoms, any utilities connection. And it's not just for the finished building. One of the challenges we have with construction, as you said, we've become more digitised. Getting that temporary connection to a site years before the building could be finished, that's a big challenge. And one thing that the connecting infrastructure in this country is one of the next big challenges.
Well, we could talk a lot longer. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you want to be a guest on the Northern Business Podcast, do get in touch. It's easiest to get in touch on LinkedIn, Recognition PR. Thanks to our podcast producer, Alex Dryden, and our technical operator, Kieran Graham. Join us next time. Don't miss an episode by like, rate and subscribing on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.